G'day everyone, and welcome back to the show. And today's guest is Steve Gilmore. How are you going, Steve?
Extremely well.
Thank you for taking the time to come on the show.
No problem.
Now, I was originally, you were brought to my attention through the Thorntons, and you've been doing some great work. You've got the website exopolitician.wordpress.com, so people can go and see some of what you do. You've got the book Dimensions, Deceptions and Demons, is that right?
It is, yes, that's correct. It's actually going to be a series of books.
All right.
So initially it started out as a book project, but each chapter is now turned into a book itself.
It goes on, doesn't it?
It does.
Thought I was done with my first, you know, the books, how I've done them, and it just doesn't stop. Would you mind giving the viewers and the listeners just a bit of an overview of who you are and your experiences, and we'll just sort of take it from there, mate?
I think I might just start off. Many people ask me how I get my knowledge. You know, do I channel? Do I read a lot? And I may confuse some viewers, so I'm going to try and say it in a way that people will understand. And please correct me or jump in if it doesn't make any sense. I've only recently learned that I'm a cosmic, something that's called a cosmic hinge. So essentially, we've got an astral plane which connects everything, all dimensions,
yeah.
Which is like a giant superhighway of light. And I'm bang smack in the middle and a sort of portal point for information coming in. And I connect with various entities as a consequence. Unlike other people of my character, I have a direct link into Prime Source. So Prime Source is generally known as God, I suppose.
Yep.
Most of the extraterrestrial entities define God by using that sort of terminology. And it's not really a sharing, caring God that we understand. It's much more of a system. As a consequence, obviously, I've been able to access information that other people can't.
What type of information have you come across? Through you being, a hinge or a link between...
Yes.
A lot of the viewers, I guess, if they've watched a lot of my shows, they'll understand what you're saying, because I've gone on about very similar stuff to what you're going on about. So you haven't, I understand directly what you're talking about and what you're
yes.
representing in those terms. So what's been some of the information? And of course, this is ongoing, as you said, that there's going to be a series of books from this. Can you go into a little bit of the nature behind and even who's relaying some of this information, or is it directly from source, some of it, or how's it working?
It's very quite weird, actually, because I was born with this. Mm-hmm. It's only through my life that I've become to realise who I am. So it's only sort of I've only come to rationalise that in relatively recent times. But having said that, I've always had that facility available, and there have been certain triggers in my life that have been able to bring it out. I'd like to give you an example. For instance, I was doing a little project where I've been looking at some of the conspiracy theories behind saying Obama is created from the DNA of Akhenaten, because he looks very much like, you know, the stone... stone carvings of Akhenaten.
Yeah, yeah.
So I've looked at that very, very seriously, and I put out the message out there, and I came back with Amon. And Amon actually is the pronunciation you're meant to do of Amen, and Amen is Akhenaten's god. But, you know, that sort of thing, I didn't know why, you know, that came back. So a lot of it then I've got to research. So I'll get a thread of information and I can add on top of that through research. And that's been very good to create some kind of credence to what I write.
Okay.
So I've just sort of, yeah.
And it's very spot on from my experience too with the astral plane. I call it the interplanes. You've got all these planes in between each dimension, but it's the same plane.
Yes.
And like you said, it's like a super highway. And that's a very good explanation of how to describe to others who haven't experienced what yourself and me have, though I think all have in an unbounded state, but in the body computer it's a blockage or whatever. It's a very, very good way to explain that. Now, you have had lots of experience, obviously, and you've got all this information, and like you said, you're a hinge or a connector, relaying information from the astral realms to here and from source, from what I understand. You've also had experiences, would I dare say, with the Draco and the Anunnaki. You've got information on these aspects.
Yes. Would you like to hear about the Draco?
Yeah, go where you want with this.
Okay.
I'll
just build that into dimensions, deceptions, and demons. It's a very dark title, but in fact, the book isn't really a dark one. It's trying to create good information. There's a lot of misinformation. I don't think it's deliberate misinformation. It's just the way we rationalize things, and I try to give their view rather than ours. So my version of the Draco has got a very different flavor to some of the other versions out there, and I don't dispute the fact that he's some of the lower vibrational types eat human flesh, but they actually have a spiritual connection with that. It's actually a ritualistic connection, so it's not what a lot of people think. Right, so you wanted some information about the Anunnaki and the Draco. Let's start with the Anunnaki, because the Anunnaki at the top, there's a lot of misinformation about the Anunnaki. If we take the Draco bloodline, it starts at the very top with the Anunnaki. The manifestation of the Anunnaki is the creature they call Baal or Baal. And Baal was Enki, and Enlil were different manifestations. And unlike other creatures, they are all unique. So Baal there's only ever one. They don't copy them. So we have, obviously, you have your kids, and we're sort of similar. But you know what I'm saying? But with them, they're absolutely unique, all different. And the ancient texts, you can see they've got different names depending on, you know, how they manifest. So below that, you have then the dragon classes, which actually should be called Dracon, but we call them dragons. And below that, you've then got the Draco, which are very, very high spiritual creatures at the top levels, way beyond us. And they're not in this dimension. They're sort of fourth, fifth dimensional on that band at the very, very highest orders. Now, let me explain Anunnaki. It's broken down to An, Un, Arki. I've identified five different hereditary bloodlines called Anunnaki, and the reason for that is Prime Source is also called Anunnaki. I explain this in one of the books in Dimensions, Deceptions, and Demons. I think it's going to be book three, it may be book two. Arn, which is, I spell A-H-N, is the combination of mother and father. Nun is the primordial waters, but it's not what we think. It's actually dark matter. This is dark matter is fluid, so in some ways it's regarded as water. So that means dark matter. And Aki is the ever shining light, or invisible light. So when I talk about this in the first part of my book, which has actually been released, you know, viewers can actually get that. Yep. I actually discussed this, and light actually began without any, there was nothing, you know, it was all invisible. It was only after certain catalysts created existence, I suppose we can call it. You wanted to talk about Draco specifically. There was an experiment millions of years ago which created the dinosaurs on this planet. Now, it might seem a little bit far-fetched to viewers, but I believe that Tyrannosaurus Rex was actually a version of man, that they could talk to each other in for lack of a better explanation. The DNA after the end of the dinosaurs, which again I discussed this in I think book two, the destruction of Molbeck ended up splattering the earth with residue, meteorites, or whatever you'd like to call them. I mean, it was an absolute chaos. But it didn't just do that. The sheer violence of the implosion pushed Earth out of orbit by a long way. So back then, we're going back, you know, 70 million years ago, the Earth was very much close to the Sun, perhaps as close as Venus is today. Moving forward for many millions of years, there were two new men created out of the Tyrannosaurus DNA. One of them was fused with Pleiadian DNA. So too long, I think, to discuss in a short time we've got together. But these are known as Ciakars. If I'm assuming I pronounce that right, it's spelled C-I-A-K-A-R-S, Ciakars, I call them. And the other type was pteroids, which were came from the pterodactyl lines.
Yep, fascinating.
So you've got two halves of Draco. You've got the pteroids, which are very bat-like, maybe slightly wolf-like. Dog-like, and you've got the other half, which have actually affinity to birds and cats, ironically, but they look reptilian.
How, like, you don't have to go totally in-depth or whatnot, how did you come across this? Is this some of the information you've come across in the astral realms or from other, but how have you come across this to be able to come to these conclusions?
I think it's a fusion of the two. It's been a mixture of research and a lot of inherent information. I, on an average day, I get beamed maybe 20 or 30 visual pictures, we can call them, sometimes moving, sometimes not,
mm-hmm.
Often just before I go to sleep, which is annoying.
Yeah.
It would be nice if I could get them, you know, the time where I can really, you know, get into it, but you know the score. It doesn't work like that.
No.
I another of my abilities is I can actually travel through somebody in a metaphysical sense. I can travel through you, for instance. I will be traveling through you. I can't stop it. Mm. There is something in me which will be able to go through, and I can find all the links to you, all your hereditary links, and that will take me all over the place.
Other planets.
That's right. That's right. So if you can imagine that it's a mixture of inherent knowledge, a mixture of that being able to connect all the links, but also to research. And I actually did a lot of research on the Draco, looked for everything I could find, and I came up with the pteroids and the Ciakars, and I thought, my God, they're absolutely right. They couldn't have said it better. I said, well, I agree with that. I do not agree that the reptilian types are actually reptiles as we know it. And I think the reptiles that we have on the surface are very different to them. Some of them, for instance, have dual pulmonary systems where they've got cold and warm blood being pumped. The females produce breast milk. They have an egg, but it's not really the same as our reptile eggs. It's almost like an embryonic birth, you know, where the egg sac is still attached. It's very, very, it's almost like paper thin, you know, it's not really a true egg.
So, in saying what you're saying, my experiences, I would say, and this is where I've had both, I hate using the word positive or negative, and I'd rather use service or self-service mode. I've had experiences where I've had, but I will use positive and negative, I've had positive experience with reptilians and then not so, but what's been revealed to me later is that there's another force which has used them as a vehicle.
Yeah.
So once we find out, and we're starting to as a collective, people like yourself and me and others, we know a little bit more than the average Joe because we've had these experiences, we're open and we're connected, but it's later revealed to me and now that there's another force behind them where what it's like this, what better way to rob the bank than to get somebody else? So if they get caught, they get the finger pointed at them. And this is basically the situation with the reptilians. And does that resonate with you from what I've experienced and others are now saying apparently?
Yeah, this is interesting because I've got a fairly special connection with them over a long period of time, and also because I'm part dragon. So I'm half dragon, I'm something else, and I'm many things. Mm-hmm. I've got a sort of genetic connection to them. So I guess they've confided in me. Can I say it like that?
Yeah.
I don't believe in that because I don't believe anything anybody says. I've got to be honest, and I have to check it. I have to verify it. That's my job.
Yeah.
As a student and also as a conveyor of information, but nevertheless they've confided in me, and I agree with what they're saying. Yes, they do what you're saying, but also all the others do. Mm. So the Lemurians are just as sneaky.
Oh, yeah. It's not just them, it's many different levels.
The Lemurians will also shape-shift and turn up as reptilians to try and point the finger at the reptilians. So, yes, that game is played. Mm. We have the problem here on Earth. It's the thing that's called the False Matrix, and that is really, really nasty.
Do you want to go into that a bit?
Well, I'm glad you sort of brought that up, or I brought it up and you came back to me, but because I've only recently looked at that, so it's still not finished. But I do understand how they use it. It's the False Matrix is actually very old. It's 570 million or something years old, because all they've done is use all the natural crystalline structures in the Earth. And the technologies were there before, but it wasn't used in that way by, I suppose it was the Elohim or the equivalent of them that were using it for very different purposes. Now, the Draco are actually in league, in my opinion, with the Zeta. So they say, well, they're opposed, but they're actually together, the Draco and the Zeta. It's quite weird when you look at the politics.
I've got that's similar stuff I've wrote about in a couple of books, probably four books back, Operation Starseed, three or four books.
Okay, very
there is that connection. And you're the first person I've come across that has mentioned that. So
yes,
that to me is confirmation for me. So
thank
I continue
you.
On. I'm getting touched as well. The pound just keeps getting touched. But, please continue.
Certainly. So theoretically, the way the Draco are meant to use, and this is the lower orders, so it's not the Supreme Draco, it's the kids. The lower orders are meant to use it to direct, if necessary, the progress of humanity and some other entities on this planet that we don't know about. That's what they're meant to do. But what they end up doing is trying to affect or infect. And they can re-engineer the thought process. So they can actually change your attitude. They can actually beam emotions through to you. So you can be in the middle of a conversation, you can change tack, and you don't realise why you did it. And it's them.
Mm-hmm. I've been trying to tell people this exact same thing.
Particularly in our space, they do it all the time because, of course, we're very, very dangerous because we can see what they're up to. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I immensely respect, you know, guys like Ike and all that. Having said that, I also see their side, and they are about elevating the human races. For instance, there's been lots of talk about, you know, rapes, the Draco rapes of women. Mm-hmm. Whereas you see the way the Draco see it is that they're actually educating women, they're enlightening them via the sexual experience. So where they see a sexually repressed woman, they've got to open her up. That's their view. We see it as horrendous oppression, the worst violation. They don't. They say, "Well, we're doing that for you. We've stepped in and jumped in." The same with the vanquishing. You know, they vanquish the subordinate parties, entities, or even just animals. And the animals should be grateful that they're eaten because they become part of the whole, a much greater whole, the Draco. that's the way they look at it from a spiritual. And it gets very complex. I discussed this actually in both in chapter in the book I've just released, but also I'll be very much in the next one. That obviously it becomes very complex as they understand prime source and the objectives of prime source. Karma is not what we think it is. It isn't you do a good deed and it gets returned. It doesn't work like that. In reality, it's cyclic. So I'll do something here and it'll affect, and there'll be a chain reaction that will affect everything. And eventually it will come back on me, either positively or negatively. Very much so, they're aware that everything is actually prime source. It's fairly logical. We're all actually connected to the same ultimate entity.
We're all celibate.
So if you go and vanquish somebody and you absolutely terrorize them, what do you think prime source feels about that? Particularly if you're a high spiritual being, they say, you're not worthy of that high spiritual status, you're demoted. So they have to be very careful who they vanquish, how they vanquish them, that they don't break karma in the process, if that makes sense.
No, that does make sense. So going to the Matrix thing,
yes.
what you were saying earlier, is basically a Matrix within the Matrix. The system that's here at the moment that's overshadowing here, what we see as, well, it's really an illusion, but we see as reality.
It's very, this is going to really shock some viewers, and I didn't want to bring it up, but you brought it up, so we'll deal with it. Every single thought that's made on this planet is monitored. Every single one. You can imagine the amount of thoughts that are created. And they have the technology to isolate. And they have these sort of colour, almost like bar charts, so they know what's going on. They look at, you know, a bit like our computer systems, but they know precisely, right, we've got to get in there and tweak that and do this and do, and that's how it works. There is nothing that escapes them at that level. Nothing. All right, they don't necessarily eavesdrop on what you're thinking, but the thought gives off its own sort of chemical reaction. Can I use that terminology? I don't think there's anything I can use, but it gives off a sort of flavour, an essence.
So it'd sort of be like, I guess, if we talk about the NSA and Pine Gap, apparently, that monitor we know the NSA monitor everything.
Yes.
You've got a database that everything that's going on is recorded, but if there's keywords or key things going on, those in line with it, they're going to pick up and go bang, even though it's all recorded. It's sort of like a light switch will go off if it's in line with a certain agenda or thing, your subject going on.
Correct, except the NSA and Neanderthals. So they don't record. It's all real time.
Real time, yeah.
Yeah, so it's not recorded. They monitor it real time, and they're there on the moment. And that's why they can zoom in and actually intercept a thought and change an emotion. They can't intercept a thought, but they can change an emotion or a state. So they can change your emotional balance at a given time, and that will alter the way you respond.
Fascinating. Yeah, no, I totally get what you're saying, and I'm sure that a lot of people listening to this will as well. Would you mind going into some of the greys? You've got a thing on the website about the greys as well as the Anunnaki and the Dracos. Would you like to go into sort of their part and the multiple different types, or what's going on there?
Well, let me go and talk about DNA first. I think this connects in with it very, very well. In fact, and I've been using DNA, and I talk about invisible DNA. DNA is actually simply amino and nucleic acids, as far as I can gather, and they have various chemical patterns made of four elements, which are replicated billions and billions and trillions of times, and that gives a print of a sort of computer print of genetic formations being bodies and parts of bodies. The problem is that DNA is worthless. You see, real genetics are behind DNA. It's like, and I explain this in my book, I say the latest trend at the moment is creating these like pictograms from sound. You know, I put different sounds and I create this like little picture from it,
like a blueprint type scenario.
Yeah, like with the ice crystals.
All right,
the ice crystals, but they do it with sound. Yeah. They make a sound. It creates this
geometry.
This pictogram, but the pictogram is not sound. So what we look at is the DNA, and we say that's DNA, and that's, it's got nothing. It's just simply a pattern that's created by whatever's behind it. And the real genetics or DNA or whatever you want to call that is that it looks like, I would call them Christmas tree decorations. You know those, but it's made of light, and they're very, very vivid colours. Because it's spectral and it connects everything. Mm-hmm. A DNA is just effectively an interface. But again, I'm not going to go into that in any depth. You'll have to, get my first part of the book, and I discuss that in much more detail. So, with us, we have the reason our DNA is so prized is we are an almost complete catalogue. I believe, for instance, all the creatures on this planet, including plants or many plants, were created from our DNA. So, we are the complete library, and you could create billions of creatures on the back of that library. The disadvantage with hybridization of us is because that catalogue's so complex, it doesn't work unless it's in a strict arena. And that's why all the experiments you've probably heard from other people with hybrids have failed. They've died, they've gone mad, because it just doesn't work. Our DNA is very, very hard to play around with. You go to the other end of the scale and you take the Zetas, and the Zetas' DNA is brilliant. It's an open catalogue. Boom, create anything with it. Perfect for hybridization, and that's why you find all the different types of worker hybrids, the greys, and it's not just the Draco that got them, just about everybody's got them, they're invariably made from Zeta stock. So I talk about, on the website, about the worker greys in particular. These are quite interesting. And there's a bit of a mystery behind them, and I'll cite somebody called Carla Turner. Have you heard of
Yeah. I haven't looked too much. I keep on getting her mentioned to me, and I do know of her, and I know a little bit about her, but I haven't sort of watched full presentations and gone in depth into her work. So I do know of her.
Well, Carla Turner made the enigmatic statement that the worker grey robots, which are the little grey ones, there are numerous films of them, by the way. They always have some idiot always says, oh, fake, or something like that. Ignore them. They're not fakes. They make a sound that sounds a bit like an alarmed cat, which is tonal. And it's unmistakable. They are obviously manifest. They are on our dimensional frequency. They appear to live underground, so they come up from underground somewhere, and they seem to target individuals. They're sometimes accompanied by a very tall, 7 foot tall, thin white sort of mantis types. So what Carla Turner said about these little grey robots is they were created from human sperm. That was a huge statement. And unlike other people, you throw a worm like that at me and I have to say, well, hang on a second, let's investigate this and try and rationalise it. How can that be so? Because it causes big, big problems. I'll cut a long story short, and I do discuss this a little bit on the website. I think it's actually in the second part of my book series. But essentially, she may be right, but the only way that the grey robots were created from human sperm is if we are part Zeta. Mm-hmm. And they have a way of tweaking the Zeta, because they're certainly Zeta. There is no doubt that there is some Zeta, and also it's very, very flexible DNA. The problem we obviously have is that there is nothing that known to man that can use either an unfertilized egg or a sperm on its own mm-hmm. to create a body.
Yep.
It would explain the character of the robot Greys, because I explain this in my book, in the first part, that the egg holds what we call the soul. And I won't go into that in any detail, other than that's the emotional centre. So our emotions are generated by the soul. And we've got the spirit contained by the sperm. And the spirit is the centre of adventure, that inquisitivity, that life force, we can call it. So essentially what you have with the robot Greys is the life force and no soul. So they've got no emotions there, and they are have been described that way. They don't resonate. I've only ever experienced one, obviously, in a metaphysical state. So I think it must have been a higher level, and it felt to me like rubber. Didn't feel like it was made of fresh. I don't like the mantids. They feel to me like silicon. They feel like a Teflon. Because every energy field has a distinctive, like humans, your energy field is like a bushy, like a cat's. You know the cat's fur?
Yeah.
That's what your energy field gives off. Mm-hmm. So the Greys that you've been numerous times, I believe, could be created from sperm only. It's certainly feasible. It would explain a lot of things. They are owned by the Draco, so they are CRCAR workers.
So there's definitely that link there from your like the information you're getting, the research you're doing, and the experiences you're having. This is where that's leading. With the books and the series, how would you give like a thumbnail sketch overview of what this is about, like just for the viewers and listeners? So
yes,
again, they can go to the website. There's a link underneath this video if you're watching it, and if you're listening to it, just go to my website, petermaxwellslattery.com, and just go to the page where you've downloaded this audio, and there'll be links. But just for the because there's a write-up, there's a little bit of part of your book on the website as well.
Yes.
So there's a little bit of information there, but just for the viewers and listeners, just a little bit of an overview of what this is about.
Okay, I start off, and the part that's been released is I've deciphered the mechanics and machinations of existence, and that's very important, because unless you can understand what dimensions are, for instance, and forget science haven't, there is no second dimension, as science says, there is no first dimension, as science says, it's totally, totally wrong. And I explain that. So I go into quantum physics. I explain the Kondo effect in that first part. I also talk about connections with the higher entities, and there's obviously an extraterrestrial theme. That's what the book is about. So, but I've set the scene there. I want people to understand about prime source. I want people to understand about how everything is. And to look at the world with fresh eyes. I have had critics. I've had some criticism come back. Oh, goodness, he doesn't fulfill the reductionist model and materialist model. What a load of old rubbish. Well, that's fine. You know, if you want to come back and say that, then don't read it. It will not support reductionism or materialism in any sense of the word. It will blow that bubble. So that's the first part. The second part moves into, it's going to be called the New World Order. And that looks at ancient Mars, and we're going back 100 million years. St. George and the Dragon was modelled on the wars between super Thor-like humans that lived on Mars. They also had some subordinate cultures below them, very, very, very large populations on Mars, miles more than we have on Earth at the moment, and a war between the Draco, not the Draco, wasn't even created then, but with the dragons on Earth, and that involved Moldek, which was a station, a battle station, the Dragon battle station on Moldek, and that's why they smashed it. So I talk about that. I talk about various other things. Obviously, on the back of that, I talk about a little bit about the false matrix and how that interplays with us. So I'm setting the scene really of that deep history to modern times. The next chapter I talk is called The Birth of Humanity, and I put a bombshell in there. I'm not going to reveal it here, but I can say there is an intrinsic link between everybody and the Draco, and it will shock readers.
And I can understand why not going into everything here, because, like you said, there's not enough time, and I'd love to get you back on occasionally and go into more of these, because it's the same with myself that don't go into everything, because if you do, you have to go. People want the answer to some things, and when you do, it all connects, and it's like it's not just so straightforward. You have to understand this to get this, and to get this, you have to understand this. So, yes. Just one thing quickly, have you ever heard of Nigel Kerner?
I haven't.
You haven't? He's done a book called, I've got it up here on the internet at the moment. I read a book, and it's similar stuff, not the same stuff, but in terms of how you've done the research, plus you've having experiences, you're a link. The book's called Grey Aliens and the Harvesting of Souls, the Conspiracy to Genetically Tamper with Humanity. Now, yep. It goes into a lot of things, but listening to you, how you're presenting this and the information and the areas you were going is very similar to this book, and I read this book a while ago through my brother. Just might be something you want to check out sometime, but it's a fat book. And the stuff you're saying is very similar. It's just presented in a very similar way. It goes into dimensions and lights and it explains it and goes in depth, very similar to how you were presenting what your books are about here. So it just came to mind to tell you about that as we're talking about this, because it's a mixed bag what you're going on about, but this is how this is. It's not just ET, it's not just interdimensional, it's not just us, it's a mixed bag. And this is where people like yourself are bringing this to the forefront, how this is multifaceted to what's going on. It's not just so one answer fits all. You have to have an understanding of many different things to come to an understanding of what we can grasp while in the body computer, I guess I'm trying to say.
Yes. I'm prepared to release one bombshell for you to really get the viewers going. You probably heard of David Wilcox.
Yes.
And he talks. He's a very interesting presenter, and he talks about many things. And he claims that he's actually the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. Had the special relationship with the Altarians, which are Zetas, by the way. He's an interesting guy. And he questions evolution. And he gave some examples in his presentation. And I can say, absolutely verify, no such thing as evolution. This is interesting, isn't it? Having said that, what science can do is science can see marked changes in things. So what happens is the DNA, the invisible DNA I talked about earlier, that if you can see it looks like very, very colourful light, almost metallic light, metallic coloured light. It clicks forward. Something behind the scenes, which is actually the way it's been explained to me by the light beings, is we are rinsed by the sun. So the sun is very important. There's an electromagnetic field. We take our DNA through the sun, it's processed and brings it back again to us. That's not me. That was given to me through somebody else who channeled it through the light people on a one-on-one session. And I believe them because I've double-checked it and I've processed and I've looked at it very, very carefully. And this is correct. So that electromagnetic field is very, very important. I will be discussing that, by the way, in the second part of my book, The Connection Between Gravity, Electromagnetic Field, The Curvature of the Earth, and these pulse-like troughs that actually capture planets. That's why planets go into orbit, is that they're actually on troughs because they're just the right size to fit.
Do you believe that's all been set up?
I do.
Yeah.
Same. I think every single... Why would you... You know, again, we're going into this atheist view, reductionism, random...
Well, even when it goes into evolution, I don't think it's... Evolution's happening how... I just don't... It just... From what I've experienced, even with some of these planets, they've been created by thought, some of them. It's crazy that sound from what I've experienced.
But not some of them, every single planet, the whole, I described this and I can again give you a little bit of an insight,
awesome.
That every single planet is a star, if it's a planet. So in the centre is a star and it's just become encased. In this particular case, it's the Zeta energy field that created this planet. So if you want to call us the God that created the Earth, it's the Zeta. So there you go. You know, if you want a god, well, not many people are going to like that, you know, because he doesn't, you know, the Zetas don't look like, and I'm not talking about the robots, I'm talking about the fifth dimensional entities that, they've got, again, they're sort of termite-like faces.
Well, there's multiple different types of greys and light beings and all this, which is why I love getting a format of this information to get out, because... You know, a lot of the time what people are experiencing is completely different, but all things cross-correlate at some point when you've got experiences getting together, relaying information, and we've all experienced things differently. With you being a connection, I guess, of the interplanes, relaying information, what's some of the information you'd like to get out at the time that you can talk about that you'd like with where we are currently as a civilization and as a collective with what's going on? Can you go into anything there? Is there anything you can say about that?
Yes, I can. We are waking up. And I think the trouble is we're waking up in many ways in the wrong way. People are becoming... they say the younger generations, and I can only... get this from other people because I don't interact with many, many young people. But people say, oh, you speak to the younger generations, they know what's going on. So what I have been observing is the younger generations are actually becoming better at adapting to the system, for lack of better terminology. So they're not the rebels of old. So in a sense, the system is closed in on free thought. Mm-hmm. And free thoughts just become humble. In that way, I think that things are not going so well for humanity. And I think that it would be good to see a few rebels come out of the system. I'm not talking about this crazy nonsense we're seeing with false flags and Zionism and the Islamic non-existent Islamic threat. And I know who the power brokers behind that are. I'm talking about at the ground level, we're getting on with our lives, and I've noticed a very distinct change for the negative. And I would hope that that's going to turn direction. That we're just going through one of those cycles of obedience, and really all the great things that have happened for us over the years have been on the back of people who've made enormous sacrifices. The working, you know, all the legislation that protected workers was on the back of the general strikes. They tried to kill those strikers. They tried to starve them out. It wasn't on somebody protesting for 10 minutes and getting on TV.
What people think.
Right. So what I'd like to see is a lot more, I suppose, pro-action rather than, you know, backroom discussion. That's what I'd love to see coming out of.
One good thing, but I must say, is for a few years there I heard about you know, the young ones not being interested in what you're doing and I'm doing and others are doing. But I must say, I haven't had that experience. I can understand if people can say that from their perspective, but when I go and do talks, geez, the amount of young people, the youngest is probably around 20, but the main age group that will come and see me talk are between 20 and 35, you know, that main area, which, you know, it's really hit my heart when I've done talks like that, because I'm like, shit, there are young people that are, they're researching, they're at least interested, and they will come across other stuff rather than the main media. You know, they're willing to hear other things. So this is, there's some hope there, which is a good thing, rather than, you know, that not being the case.
Well, that's excited me. I'm glad you've given me that feedback, because I was getting very demoralised at one point. So that is good news, because I remember when I was, you know, of the 20s, we were all interested in going out to the disco, you know, picking up girls, and presumably girls were going out there to pick up boys. But that was about the limit of your... you know, you might go to the cinema occasionally, but that was the interest.
Yeah. I guess at one of them, there was a different format. People were getting on the piss when I was doing my presentation, but that was the situation. But I blew their minds anyway, so that was a good night.
You put bait on for them.
Yeah, yes. Well, that's it. That's it. And, you know, it's just good to know that there are young ones getting into it. And these days... A lot of this isn't going to sound too far-fetched, what you're saying or I'm saying to some of the young ones, because, you know, again, it's getting more out there. More and more people are looking into, you know, alternative information and everything else and a wider view and a perspective.
I actually think that even some of the mainstream scientists are beginning to wake up and they're moving out of the denial mode. But they're faced with this huge, huge problem, because do they tell the truth and be true scientists and lose their jobs, or do they continue paying lip service to whoever's backing them? And that seems to be going on a lot. I mean, I admire what Mary Wadwell, for instance, has been doing. She's really trying to connect out there. I don't have her faith, unfortunately, but, you know, fair play to her.
Yeah, well, that's it, and this is where each to their own, but that is an important point about the scientists, mainly because people want answers outside of themselves. They're not willing to go within. They need verification from some dude in a suit to say ETs are real, and even then, I will question the whole friggin' agenda if that happened anyway, because it's a lot more complicated, and it's not just 3D. It's very interdimensional indeed, but with a lot of the scientists, it's like, where's their funding come from? How do they do what they do if they do that? So we're in a dilemma here, but there are people coming forward, and even journalists now. There's journalists coming out for the first time basically friggin' ever. There always have been a handful of good journalists worth, you know, who they are, having their name out there, but large majority of it, especially since the 80s, has been repeater. It's all repeating the same stuff, regurgitating the same stuff from another news source. I even know when I've had stories done on me, I could bloody black mark a large majority, which is I didn't even say it was a load of crap. So these days, there are, you know, there's a groundbreaking journalist and scientist getting out there, but it's a slow process. And, you know, thumbs up to the people that are breaking the ground in that area, that have got the balls to come forward and maybe who were set up that they don't care about the repercussions if they're doing well financially and that, because, you know, we do need that part of society coming forward in terms of saying, this is what my research is showing, and these dudes are cross-correlating it, so it's science. You know, we're getting the same effect or the same result from this method, and look at this, which is against what we were told 40 years ago.
Yes.
It's a very important thing.
Well, this actually ties in with, which I haven't finished, about the revelations about evolution, our DNA, etc. And I think what's happening with journalism, actually, and also the disclosure movement, is arse covering. And I think that essentially there are some very good things coming out of the disclosure movement. There's some very bad things, and what I've been seeing, the takeover of MUFON, for instance, by Bigelow,
yes,
is the corporatization. And the thought police are out there, and they're going to, in a sense, what we are is we're explorers. Because all the world has been conquered. There's nowhere else to discover on the planet, is there, on the surface? Mm-hmm. So we're moving now into the interstellar realms, where we haven't got the technology to get out there, well, officially at least. And so the only way to get out there is via what we call channelers. So that's what's going on. That's part of, you know, and now, of course, corporates are on the muscle in saying, well, there's a lot of money to be made because a lot of people are going to be really interested, particularly if these stories are real. Mm. It's not just, you know, fantasy. There's a lot of big money to be made out of this. So we just need to get the story right, because we've got this religious world, and we've got this set history, and it's all got to conform. We've got to get the story right. And that's what's been going on.
And that's what's happening. There's a shitload of people in a room somewhere, and they're all trying to make sure that each story cross-correlates before we spin you the bullcrap story that we all want you to believe.
One of the stories that's been out there for a long time is obviously the so-called Mayan. I don't think it is Mayan. The Mayan Wheel of the Sun, which is a calendar, cosmic calendar. And I'm going to shock you and viewers. To say it must have been chipped before, created before 10,518 BC. So it's not 2,000 years old or 3,000 or however long they're saying. It is at least 12,500 years old, and probably was carved about 200 years before the disaster in 10,518 BC. I got the date right. It's in the second part of my book. I'm pretty sure I explain what that's all about. So you'll have to wait till a new world order is produced, and that's going to be a really exciting one. So I talk about the turmoil with this planet. But obviously the focus has been on this so-called 2012 date that was produced by the Mayan calendar. And you've got to remember that if the Mayan calendar, as I say, was chipped 12,000 years ago, then all the cycles they're talking about that have come to pass were actually predicted. They weren't. That it wasn't, you know, because they've been saying, oh, no, well, this was just, no, this isn't history. They've predicted all these cycles because it's a lot older than people realise.
And they're cycles.
Now, right. Mm-hmm. The 2012 date, one of the problems is a bit is missing. And that equates, I've been led to believe, to 1 degree of the precessional cycle, which equates to 72 years. So the great event is 2084. I believe that is when we're going to have a click forward, a group click forward, in terms of great chunks of the human races will literally change unequivocally. And we may shift into either a between-dimensional resonance. We might be in the between-dimensional resonance here, actually. I'm not sure if we're actually in a dimension or between, but I think we'll be in move much closer to the so-called fourth dimension. And we're going to start to see things real and physical that weren't there before. And I think that's what the disclosure movement is preparing us for. So the establishment can say, oh, no, we're always on that. No, we knew what was going on, you know, blah, 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 the usual stuff. There is another significant event, and I don't know what this is about, but I know that there is going to be a shift either on between the 16th and 18th of October 2017. And there has been this massive effort to try and federalise the planet, so a global federalized order through the United Nations or whatever they would like to call it, perhaps even one currency by then. And I see something happening. Whether there's going to be an ET involvement, whether there's going to be a slight shift, already I'm very intrigued by magicians, they call them magicians, David Blaine, mm-hmm. Dynamo, because they seem to be able to do things that go beyond magic to me. Either it's all trick photography, but I certainly know people who know Dynamo, and they say, no, he can actually levitate. There are no There are no wires, nothing keeping him up. He can just do it. They don't know how he does it.
He's got some friggin' trippy eyes as well, if you look at his eyes. Like, geez.
He's a reptilian. I've analysed him. He's 100%. Which isn't a bad thing. They say, oh, no, he's a reptile. Oh, blah, blah. No, it's not. There's a positive energy, although it does seem to associate with some of those very dark rock bands, doesn't he? So I guess that's because of the energy source. One of the things the reptilians like are energy sources. So that's why they get involved with, you know, the druggies and guys like that, because they've got a very, very interesting energy signature.
Now, that's fascinating. So... So you're going to have a series of the books come out, and you've got another book. Is it? Were you saying the New World Order something?
No. So the series is going to go. The first part I've already released, which is about existence, is just called Introduction. Second part is the New World Order, which talks about Mars and Earth, some of the events on Earth, and also right up to the New World Order of modern times and how that's happening, that, you know, the Rosicrucians versus the Zionists at the moment, and that links back to the Gnostic Essenes and the Pharisees back in, you know, thousands of years ago. Then the next chapter, I talk about the birth of humanity. I do, actually, that's the first one where I actually do reference to ancient texts. Mm-hmm. So it's an ancient textual analysis, amongst other things. So that's the first that gets more into that formal, you know, where you read the books and they've got links and they've probably got a bibliography and all that sort of stuff. I've said I will not produce a bibliography. I want you to go discover. This is the part of your journey. You go out and find things. Yes, I will name drop other authors. You go and find them. That's
I did very job. Similar job in my first book, The History of Man, because that's what I want people to do. I don't see the problem, and I've mentioned it many times on the show, the problem with a lot of society is just believing. And we know what we know through experience or research, whatever.
Yes.
And for people to just believe us off the back, it's even a fault on their own. So rather than just believe, take into consideration, put everything in the grey basket unless you feel it resonates, and then go on your journey and go out and do the research and, you know, talk to other people and, you know, do some investigation, because this is where they will come to some understanding on their end. I think a lot of people are just going to be chasing their tails, but it's good to do it in a format where people go out and investigate themselves.
Right, correct. And I've always given the challenge to people along the road, prove me wrong.
Mm. I've done the same.
Don't just take pot shots. Prove me wrong. Go out and discover. And when you do prove me wrong, give me the feedback, because I want to know. Mm-hmm. And I'll be the first to congratulate you. But you've got to prove it. You've got to prove it. So you've got to be thorough, and you've got to come back with some really good stuff for me. Instead, what we find is that people sniping each other at the moment, and it's not very constructive, but that's another story. So moving on, so we've got the birth of humanity. The next chapter, I talk about the network. So I talk about very much about this planet, so Anunnaki, the Luciferian experiment, Baal, and then the dragons. The next chapter, I introduce the Draco. I'm calling them chapters. They're actually books. So they originally were chapters, but these are all books. So the next book is going to be about the Draco. Then I talk about the technologies. Woohoo! A lot of people are going to be interested in that.
Yeah.
And I then talk in the next one. I think I have two about the technologies. Oh, that's right. I'll first talk about the Draco technologies. I'm going to give you a preview on that. Would you like a preview?
Yeah.
Okay, something that's never been heard before. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping it's never been heard before. They have this technology where they can build, perhaps even at the atomic level, no, probably not, I think it's probably just at the cellular level, they can build cells that they can operate with their minds. So they can put it in the body and it can fix parts of the body. They just use their minds, they inject you or get it in there some way, but obviously, and they can create little knives out of these things, you know, hard stuff that will etch away, so they can do everything. They can actually use their minds. They're like these little mini operators. They could obviously the worrying thing is they could go in there and actually wreck your body. Mm. But I don't believe that they would use it in that way. But I would hate it to get in some of the human hands, because I think that probably we would. But so that's one of the technologies they have. They have this, it's like living, it's sludge that just goes into your body and will fix up anything, cancers, any problem with your body, it will just fix it.
Would it be a type of nanotechnology or?
Yes. But actually, it's not technology. It's actual cells.
Yeah, all right. Yeah.
It's very, very, and it's all linked with their mind, so they can connect at that cellular level. We can't do that. I can't talk to, I'm going to have a conversation with one of the cells in my left little finger. I don't know what's going on there. They can. Mm-hmm. They're at that level.
So they've got that level of consciousness where they're creating that and using that.
Yeah, so their minds can actually have a conversation with every single cell in the body. We've got how many billions of cells, and they can literally simultaneously communicate. It's mind-blowing. It is absolutely mind-blowing. So that's just a preview of some of the technologies that are discussed. And I don't think anybody's mentioned that before, so I brought that one up. And there's other stuff that they have that I will reveal.
Bit of a taste for people for what's to come.
Yes. Weird stuff. So I've got a chapter devoted to them, their technologies, and then I talk about the other technologies because they're involved with the mantid networks. They've got three networks in place. So they've got their own hierarchy. They've got the mantid networks, and they're involved with also a human one as well.
All right.
Which is separate.
Fascinating.
And the mantid one, I think, is also basically under control of the Zeta, but it's also Thoth. You know the biblical figure,
mm-hmm.
Thoth?
Mm-hmm.
Was he the god of... I forget who he's the god of. It's gone. He's not darkness, because I think that's Isis, but they depict him as an ibis.
Yes, yes.
Wrong. Not a bird-headed god. It's a mistake. He's a mosquito. So that's the stamen. That bill.
Yeah,
he's an insect god. And those Vargina, have you heard the Vargina incident with those brownish, sometimes they range from description from sort of brownish to blackish, purple, reptilian looking, very, very long talons on them. And there were 200 witnesses, Vargina, Brazil, 1996.
Yes, I know exactly what you're talking about. It's known as the Mexican Roswell, where there was two dudes running around, two of these beings running around. I think the fire brigade.
They've got red eyes.
Yes, yep.
And they smell, they literally bring, apparently people would get anywhere near them, they'd retch, because it was that bad, the smell, that they just couldn't handle it. Well, those were a joint venture. They're insects. They're some sort of wasp insect, reptilian creation.
All right.
Very weird.
Yeah.
They're not the only ones. So that they are the crack troops of Thoth's crack troops. And they were the joint venture creation on that relationship. So the mantids obviously come into the league. The mantids were, should I release, give you, I'll give you this. The mantids survived Big Bang. So Big Bang, I'll just explain that in the first part of my work. Big Bang is not what we're told. Yes, there was a Big Bang event, but there was something before that.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually an energy clear-up, because things have gone so far off the rails that the prime source decided to end it all.
Yep.
But he didn't end it all. What he did is get rid of the menacing lower vibrational aspects, mm-hmm. but the mantid survived. And they're renowned for their wisdom and their ancient knowledge. So anyway, I talk about the technologies of the joint networks. I actually borrow some of the information, I must confess, from Simon Parks and others on that. But just to be proper, mm-hmm. one has to include all that. And then the next chapter, what do I talk about in the next chapter? The next chapter, I actually talk about all the different entity types. So I talk about the greys, the human types, everything that I know of. And I throw in some unusual stuff, some stuff that I have never, that people won't know about. In fact, there's one type that I talk about in my latest web post on exopolitician.wordpress.com, which is It's spelled Beruzdia, but it's pronounced Borussia.
Borussia.
Yes, yep. And these have a very ancient connection with all the human races. I do not reveal it in the web post, but I do reveal it in my book. One of those, the parts, one of the books that I released. I think I revealed it. Oh, I do. I reveal that in that chapter. So that will be the in that book, talking about all the different, the other entities around. I mostly focus on the ones, obviously, aligned to this planet and certainly aligned to man, because if I did, there are 263, I think, groups. So these are just the lead entities that have an association with this planet. If you took all the variations of those, there are tens of thousands of entities that are associated with this planet. It's absolutely, I mean, there's enough material for probably 1,000 writers or more to keep them going for 1,000 years if you try to do the whole thing. Well, look at this. We've hardly scratched the surface. Yeah. We're still talking about the same thing. So the Borussia are very, very strange beings. And one of the reasons I brought it on my website was that I wanted to give an example. And I said on the perhaps it's even too far-fetched, that people, it's so far-fetched that people are just going to switch off. But all I can say is I'm just, don't shoot the messenger. This is how it is. But these things are of humanoid in appearance, but they have a cricket or locust ancestry. They've got they're sort of humanoid in appearance, but they've got very long, thin faces and a bit concave. They sort of, the features go in, but quite beautiful to look at. And their skin has an iridescent quality. I'll give you an example. It's a sort of fusion of, you know, Mr. Data from the Star Trek series?
Yeah.
You know, that guy, you know, that sort of, if you can imagine that, and you take the Joker from the Batman series and you put the two together and give the skin a porcelain quality, you've probably got it. Very hard to describe until you see it and you go, oh, yes, that, that's what you mean. But very black eyes, which really stand out because they're solid black. I don't see any irises at all. I think they're just completely black. Very striking, very, very, very striking features on it. The body is probably about the same size as mine, maybe a bit bigger. But the legs are the noticeable things. They're about three times the average size of it. So it looks like a garn stilt. So I'll give the example. You know the old Uncle Sam in America with the huge legs? It reminds me of that from a distance.
All right.
So, and I wonder whether they knew that, whether they modelled Uncle Sam on this thing, because it looks quite ferocious.
That's trippy.
But that's not the trippy bit. The trippy bit is its mother looks, well, the best way I can describe it, it looks like a killer whale, the head. It's got this body which is about 200 metres long. It's as high as a house. This massive round worm is the best way I can describe it, which is very, very animate. So it's not something that just sort of lies there because it's so big. It thrashes around. It rises up, you know, like a massive tidal wave, this bloody head. And it develops. So these things are inside it, and they develop fully. They're not like our babies where they come out like little and they have this period. They develop fully grown. They pop out. When the parent, I'm not sure whether the worm dies or it just basically splits in two and they fall out and that's how it reproduces, by literally cutting in half. I haven't worked with that. So very, very weird.
And so this is all in the book?
This is it. That'll be, I think, the sixth or seventh book that's released. I talk about these. Right. And that's just one little bit of it. Boy, oh boy, people are going to be absolutely...
Yeah, well, we're going to wrap it up in a minute, but I'm going to have to get you back on sometime and go into other... Because we could talk for weeks, even beyond that. We could go on.
Scratch the surface. I could feel a lot more stuff coming out. Yeah.
Well, look, we'll wrap it up there. Again, the websites are... What is it? exopolitician.wordpress.com. There'll be a link under this video if you're watching it. And again, go to the my website if you're gone there to get the audio version, and go directly to Steve's website. Again, look, this has been an awesome show. You've been an awesome guest. I think you're going to blow a lot of people's minds or rustle a few feathers on a few of them as well, which is fine. I think we need to do that to expand people's minds, and I know that I do it a fair bit. And it's just the way it is. We're relays of information, and like you said, don't shoot the messenger. This is what your research and your experiences have come to, yes. And it's up to people to make their own mind, which both you and I want them to do. It's about them doing right. Their own research and own investigation. So, again, we'll wrap it up there, mate. Thank you so much for coming on the show, and I'll get you back on soon.
I look forward to it, and thank you very much for having me.
Cheers, mate. Stay in touch.
Bye-bye. See you.